everywhere. So anyway, the reason I bring this up is that a lot of times police officers overlap and they end up entering the world of sports for obvious reasons, because a lot of athletes don't behave well. And you see it now. We talk about, you know, Pac-Man Jones and Chris Benson and, you know, Hines Ward get locked up this week. They get locked up over and over. But it's not a new thing. So it was a retired Baltimore police officer who ended up encountering somebody in a book that's entitled Cop Stories, A Few, the Proud, the Ugly. Dick Elwood joins us. Dick, good morning.
Good morning.
So, I mean, you know, how long are you retired?
I retired in 1990.
And how long were you on the job?
25 years.
25 years. That's about the same time I did, 24 years. So you've seen a lot. You've encountered a lot. You're Baltimore, third-generation Baltimore police officer and now an author. The story you tell about running into your childhood idol here,
right?
It's happened to me as well in a different sport, but I'll let you tell yours first.
Okay, yeah. I went on the department in 1965, right out of the Marine Corps, 21 years old, and started working around Green Mountain Preston. I'm sure you're familiar with
sure.
that, Green Mountain North Avenue. And one night I was loaned out to Charles Street, which back in those days was all the high-class restaurants were over there, Harvey House, Eager House, One West. And I was staying at Charles and Eager one night, and the group coming down Eager Street out of the Eager House. And right off the bat, I recognized them. It was Mickey Mantle, Ralph Houck, Tony Kubek, Joe Pepitone, and Bobby Richardson, and some others. And obviously, they were very loud. And it was about 11:15. I found out later on they had 11 o'clock curfew to be back at the Sheridan Belvedere, which was at Charles and Chase. Ballplayers stayed at the Sheridan when they came in town in those days. Mm-hmm. So they approached me. I was standing at the call box, actually waiting to get off. And they were very loud. Mantle was the loudest. I think we all know now that he was an alcoholic. A lot written about that. And as he got close to me, he literally fell on the ground, and the rest of them just stood there laughing at him, and he was laughing, and, you know, he's my hero, and I'm like, I don't know what to do right now, you know, either lock him up or get an autograph. But so I told him, I said, you got to get him up, and they just laughed, and they looked like they didn't want to handle him. He's a pretty big guy, and the crowd started getting around, and anyway, I locked him up, and, you know, he was like, do you know who I am? And I'm like, yeah, I know who you are. I have your card. You know, you're Mickey Mantle.
So. Yeah.
The wagon came. It was two guys that had been around for a while, and they're like, you're locking up Mickey Mantle? I'm like, yeah. So they put him in a wagon, took him to the old Central District, and I drove down. We all walked in those days. I drove down in my car, and when I got there, he was at the booking area and, you know, laughing, having a good time. Actually looked like he sobered up a little bit. And an old lieutenant called me over, guy that, this is 1966. He was known to take a little drink when he was on the job, but called me over and said, son, you realize what you've done? And I said, yeah, locked up Mickey Mantle. And he's like, you can't lock up Mickey Mantle. And I'm like, okay. So anyway, they cut him loose. Two guys rode him back up to the Sheridan. It had to be like 1 o'clock. And next day at Memorial Stadium, this was a Saturday, next day, 2 o'clock at Memorial Stadium, he played.
Did he really?
He actually played, because I was on my way in for roll call for 4 to 12, and this is their downs now batting Mickey Mantle.
So basically, you lock him up, and Lieutenant cuts him loose just because of who he was.
Yep.
Wow.
So how many years ago was this?
This was 1966.
So 66, so 45 years ago. My, how times have changed.
Yep.
Yeah. Right? I mean, no internet, no cable,
right.
No 24-hour news,
yeah.
No TMZ, no nothing
right.
back then.
So I guess that's the question. We're talking to Dick Elwood. Is a book entitled Cop Stories. If you're just joining us, just the whole story about locking up Mickey Mantle in Baltimore. Now, did this get out? Did anybody know?
Well, it got out mostly to the cops that, you know, are working
yeah.
the 12-8 shift coming on and the 4 to 12 guys going off. And it got around in the cop world. I don't think it got out no place else. Like I say, 66, no cell phones, nobody filming anything, you know, no nothing. And, you know, I just had it in my, we used to keep a little book, I'm sure you did too, Ed, but the little roll call book, we called it, with arrest in it, and I had it. I've lost it over the years, but over the years, guys, we've talked about it. You know how cops get together, all they talk about is stories, and I started to write the book. And they're like, you got to put that Mickey Mantle story in there. So I put it in, and, you know, I've read a lot about him since then. There's another book out now. I'm not pushing it, but it's called The Last Boy. Jane Levy wrote a whole story on Mickey Mantle, kind of incredible.
Yeah, I actually got to meet him a couple of times at his restaurant on Central Park South. And, you know, gregarious guy, big partier for sure. And but it's funny how police officers, you end up meeting a lot of athletes. And it's just, you know, his childhood idol was Mickey Mantle. And he ends up, you know, locking him up, they release him. I had a very similar experience, and that's why I was so interested in the story, where it's weird when you're confronted with these things when you're a kid and now you're wearing a blue uniform.
Right.
I had a hit and run. Actually, it was an argument over parking space. His fists fly, guy gets knocked on his ass, and the guy leaves. They get his tag number. So the guys come to the precinct. Now I'm a lieutenant. I'm a detective, the lieutenant at the time. They come in, and they got the license. We run the license, and I take the printout. And I was like, oh, my God. It was Roger Gilbert, number 7, New York Rangers. Both number 7s, right. By the way, of New York teams. My childhood idol. Right. I had a Gilbert jersey. I'm a huge Ranger fan to this day. And we had to get him in. So I go. We get Rod in. And but I did. I was kind of like the lieutenant in the story in a way where, I mean, this is really a minor thing. Both people kind of at fault. There's no stupid parking things. It escalates. So I take the printout and I give it to the guy who got knocked down. I go, here, you want to take a look at who it is? I show it to him. He's like, oh, forget it. The guy actually did the right thing.
Right.
He's like, forget it. I don't want to lock him up. He's like, just tell him I want an apology and that's it. Yeah. So I had them shake hands and it all went away. And I told Gilbert, I said, you're so lucky you gave me your autograph when I was a kid. Because it could have gone either way. And he laughed. We became friends after that. Yeah. But it's true. I was a little boy. I had his autograph and all that stuff. And he was very nice to me. And then we became buddies after this. But you encounter these guys all the time. Because it's just people. And they get involved in stuff.
So, you know what? I'm just curious about this Mantle thing. So when he was lying on the ground and you decided to lock him up and bring him in, he was with his manager, right? Hauk. And he was with a couple other players. Just out of curiosity, none of the other Yankees, like, you know, offered you a 20 or, you know, something.
Or just said, we'll take care of it.
Yeah, like, you know, just whatever they could do to not have you lock them up.
No, they didn't, and that's interesting because the Sheridan was literally one block away. They could have, now Mantle's a big guy, as we all know, but they could have picked him up, probably taken him that one block.
Sure.
But they looked like they didn't want anything to do with him. They just laughed about the whole thing, and he was very nasty, you know, profanity, the whole bit, but when I told them I was locking them up, it looked like they changed a little bit. A couple of them were like, you know, that's Mickey Mantle. You know, you can't lock up Mickey Mantle. And I said, well, I am, because nobody's offering to take him anywhere. And they straightened up a little bit. One Yankee representative, and I don't know who it was, did come to the Central District before I got there. Now, what happened between him and the lieutenant, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we don't know.
It's 1966.
We could surmise something happened, but whatever. Well, Dick, I appreciate your time. The book, again, Cop Stories, A Few, The Proud, The Ugly. And good talking. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you very much.
All right, bud.
All right, bud.
Dick Elwood, interesting stuff. It's funny, you know, when you read these things. I've actually had encounters with Mike Tyson, Roger Gilbert. I'm trying to think. Guy in the Knicks was a big problem. Oh, good name coming. Mike Tyson grabbed somebody's behind allegedly in a club. You know, so it's sexual abuse. We had to deal with that. I've had Roger Gilbert. Players all the time. All the time.
So when you dealt with Mike Tyson, what was that like?
It was all right, actually. Let's just say Tyson's used to dealing with the police. So, so he really is probably the best of the lot because he's been locked up so many times.
What now?
Exactly. He just, you know, what do you want? You know, just kind of like, it was really no big deal for Mike Tyson. So it was actually fun. We had a lot of these things.